Well, that's it. I'm just crushed. I'm curious how it felt in the building.
Devastating. Maybe works. Terrible. I wanted to see everything, you know. And a part of that was just not wanting to rush out of there. You know, you want to, you know, let stuff last as long as it's going to last, even if it's not the outcome you wanted. But, you know, I wanted to see the handshakes and see what kind of reaction. There was a Let's Go Buffalo chant that broke out, I think, during or after the handshakes, which, you know, wasn't thank you Sabres, but still felt like something. But then the Olé chant started, and I was like, yeah, I got to go. I got to get out of here. And I, you know, look, you can choose while these games are going on. Like, I know we often talk. I often talk. Like, I'm a slave to whatever emotion lands on me. Like, I want it to be authentic. I don't like to plan, like, you know, I want to know how I'm going to feel when I'm there and in the moment. And I was mostly antisocial and terrified for the first two periods of that game. And then the second intermission came, and I thought that, you know, they'd gotten the goal to make it 2-1, and I just thought they looked like the better team.
They did.
And I sat there through that intermission, and the third period started, and I mostly was just sitting there smiling, like, they're going to do this. Dahlin gets the early goal in the third, like, it's your night. We're all here, you know? They're going to bring us the thing. You know, it's not a championship, but it is, you know, they only have one of these in their history, a Game 7 win. Now we're to overtime. They're going to do it. They're getting all these looks. And so I was mad at Dahlin and Thompson on the play that led to the rush, right? Like, that happened. I was like, oh, come on.
The goal.
Yeah, the goal, the winning goal. But I wasn't that the rush looked like it was, you know, meek. It was contained. There's not, you know, it was a 3-on-2, but they had help coming, and it didn't look like they were in trouble.
You have 3-on-2, and then you have, in addition, you have Norris and Thompson slightly behind on the blue line.
Yeah.
Thompson does this weird thing where he sort of waves his stick in the air to try to block the pass to Newhook. I don't know.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say, I'm just going a long ways to say, I wasn't sitting there just smiling the entire time. Like, that play happened, and I thought, oh, come on, be better than that. But that wasn't followed by panic, because it didn't look like a play that I had to be that worried about. And I don't know how many more times I need to watch it. Like, I mean, it's a knuckle puck. That's why you might have thought initially it was deflected, but it wasn't. And Lukanen just, like a catcher trying to catch Tim Wakefield, just missed it. And it's in the net, and it's all over, and it's just, wow. I really thought they were going to do it.
Well, you certainly could have. It was a battle for a lot of us, even for you, I think. The back and forth, the whole series, last three games, the whole playoffs, I don't know, the whole season, where you're sort of fend off the past. You know, I had a tough time with that on Saturday. Just like, come on. Do the Buffalo Sabres ever win this game? Does a Buffalo team ever win this game? And they won 8-3.
Right.
And they could have won big last night, but just like, oh, these guys. Yesterday at one point I asked you, who do you want it for? I don't feel like there's that much risk today of people like sort of walking in here and talking to us while we're talking to each other with headphones on.
We'll be
as if they just don't know what this is. Hopefully. At one point I asked you yesterday, who do you want this for? And I went to bed last night just feeling terrible for the players. I thought they really deserved it. They had such a great season and were such a good team. And here it is. And they're kind of rolling. But they don't get they get behind, you know all of this. They get behind, then they get even. They don't get the call there. Thank God we have another Brandon Cooks moment to talk about with another Buffalo sports heartbreak. And then it's over. And I just, like, you and I have had these conversations many times with the Sabres and the Bills. We both know that it's not necessarily the case that you have to put your 2 or 3 years of being close in before you win. You can just win. And Tampa going out, Florida falling off the cliff, Toronto, Boston, like you had an equal here in this round, and one of you is going to the semifinals, and it was just like right there. And it was just crushing. I just felt so bad for the guys, even though I don't know any of them. I just, I didn't need it for me or anybody, you know, around me. I just wanted it for the players who really, how do you live with that result last night with how good they were?
I mean,
how do you live with it? What do you look at? You could blame goalies. You could look at game two or something and double back and be like, oh, well, I wish we were better 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they had home ice. They were just, weren't the shot attempts at one point like 76 to 30?
I don't know. They ended up like 91 to 40 something, so, I think. So, yeah. I mean,
what can you do?
It was very reminiscent. I mean, it wasn't as paltry in offensive output by Montreal as in their previous game seven from this spring against Tampa in the first round, but it was close. It was the final 40 minutes of the game pretty much looked like just a matter of time, which in the like objectively, I would tell you the only thing that gets in the way of that mindset is the past, because you're looking at a game and it's obvious which team has the more opportunity to get a goal or actually go win the game, and you're just fighting off ghosts at that point.
But you also know how tenuous that is.
Right, of course.
Without the ghosts.
Of course. So it was just a very bitter. I wanted to. I talked about gratitude, like this whole thing. And that doesn't really go away. What'll be different now is we'll, I think, be paying way more attention to what they're going to do as the draft approaches and free agency, like the build of the roster and the decision to make about Tuck and what do they want to do, if anything, about goaltending. They're going to have some stuff to do, and all of it matters now on a level that it simply has not for 15 years.
I mean, 10.
Because at the beginning of it, you hadn't really lost hope yet. But there's a point where you just sort of go, I don't know. The wheels keep spinning around and nothing changes, so I don't really care what they do this offseason. That's the opposite is going to happen now, which is cool. It's not games, but it is still them being back as something that recaptured the imagination of Buffalo sports fans brings all of that back to us in a way that it simply hasn't been available in many, many, many years. So, well, like, that's still nice, but that's not making me feel much better right now.
No, I'll get there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's on the horizon. For right now, that's why I started to say gratitude, yes. And I'm still extremely grateful for everything, just partially for what I just said. But, man, it's really hard not to be just really demoralized, too, walking out of there, knowing they were that close. You know, who knows? Oh, they would have gotten steamrolled. I don't know. Let's go watch. Let's see what Montreal has for Carolina.
Who knows?
You never know. And so you're walking out of the arena, and it just sort of hit me. I'm like, oh, I'm 60.
Well,
anybody want my beer saber? Like, I just I'm such a dope walking around with that thing. Like, all right,
I know.
I found some friends.
I gave mine away before the game started.
I ran into Ryan Gates and Brian Mazurowski, and they were with a gentleman who I didn't know who I met. And I asked Ryan right away, you want this? He's like, no, I have one already, but this guy might. And the guy didn't know, like, here, just you have it. I feel like the saddest person in the world walking through the Alumni Plaza while Canadians fans are hanging on the French Connection statue at 60 years of age with a backpack and this beer saber. The guy's just not, you know, if I were 20 or 30 or maybe even 40, all about the beer saber, but he's walking out of there having lost. I'm like, I don't really need I have a foam sword from a Sabres Canadiens playoff game in 1993 that I saved for a long time as a souvenir. I don't need another I lost a playoff game / series memento to put in my attic.
Who doesn't love a foam sword, by the way?
So I just I divested myself of my beer saber. It just was giving me all the wrong
feels. You can, not to attempt to be profound here, you can divest yourself of all the beer sabers and foam swords you want. You can't divest yourself of the history of the sabers. And I can't pretend that all of that wasn't racing through my head, you know, pretty much all night. But certainly at the end of the game, watching the winning goal felt like I was 30 years younger, because that's just how we were raised. Like, yeah. They're going to lose to Montreal or Boston necessarily, because that's how it works.
And there's enough similarities. I mean, whether you're in the building or just watching on TV, and you're old enough to go back far enough, you can go to 2007 Alfredson, you go to 2001 Kasparaitis. There's even a Peter Bondra goal from 98 in the semis. That's an overtime winner. It doesn't win a series.
It does.
And
I think it's not game seven.
No, but it's. Well, I think it's game three. The Washington, the Bondra goal I'm thinking of is a game three.
Oh. Did they win? Was it Juneau?
Yeah, Juneau.
Did they win the series?
Yes, Juneau did. Yes.
Sorry.
But they're all from that same. They're not the scariest looking. Bondra's a slap shot, but it's the same spot. These are all the same region of the ice.
Okay.
And
I see.
They're all the ones on Hasek, the two that are on Hasek, go 107, are very. They're just like. I can't believe he didn't have that. How come he doesn't have that? He should have had that. And that's what this one last night is. Again, it's just not that scary, and it's in the net, and your season's over, and what? Oh, I thought we looked good. So the history is sort of crashing down on me in that way, thinking about all those goals.
I suppose that's a perfectly reasonable reaction to this. I think, you know, it's also reasonable to, at some point here, maybe not necessarily this afternoon, but just like, all right, so what do they do? What do they do differently? What do they fix, you know, quote fix, about their team? And you already said it. I think there are two big topics that when we talk Sabres here in the next few months will be the big two topics, will be goaltending. And I suppose Tuck. Tuck won't take all summer. That'll be over in six weeks.
Yeah, that'll be settled pretty quick. The goalie thing could, too, as well. Or it's the kind of thing that could, you know, just go for a while, and then, you know, we'll think, oh, nothing's going to happen, and then they do something, like at a period in the summer where traditionally moves aren't made. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, those are... You know, they've got to extend Benson. He's a RFA, and they have stuff.
Fine,
but yeah, the team is largely intact. You know, should be intact outside of talking the goalie.
I've had absolutely no stress for several years. I don't know how many, maybe 10, talking about the Sabres in net as if like just don't overthink it. Like don't overdo it. Don't overspend. You just don't know what you're getting in goal. And I think that's mostly still true. There always have been a couple of exceptions, and I think there still are. But I still want to guard against, just as we start the offseason, an idea toward, well, just go buy the best goalie you can find, because look how you lost. I mean, in the end, both guys let them down, right?
Yeah,
I could never blame Lindy Ruff for the decisions he made in net. Even last night, felt like he was kind of stuck, and it would have been a little bit nuts to come off the goalie that won you the last game. Could have done it. Who was the better guy? You know, we could have that conversation. Some fans, I'm sure, are. But for a long time, it's been pretty easy for me to say, like, I just don't want to have too much of my cap and too much of my focus here invested in net. Well, it's different now with a good team. Like they have a bona fide good team now. And it's a little bit harder to just sort of settle for that, I think. In my mind, it is. Well, just you do whatever you want. Who knows? Maybe Carter Hutton will be good. Maybe Eric Comrie will be good. Right? That's his name? Like just...
Yes. Maybe
Alex
this
Lyon.
Maybe this is Devin Levi's year or something. I don't know if you even remember him. But he's still there. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Just like, you know, these kind of crapshoot options. And even Lukanen has largely been that. I mean, he's had a couple of stretches. And then this year went very well. But it did not end well. So what do you do? I mean, sports teams do things when they lose. They try to fix what was wrong with them. And I want to think the Sabres will be, you know, not necessarily aggressive, but forward-thinking in not just sitting back in the, on their laurels with, like, all the good young talent they have. I mean, you just don't want to do that. You got to do something. So I think goaltending will be interesting. I don't know. Do you want to run it back with those two guys? It ended so poorly. And also Tuck or even Thompson. I mean, at the end of it, I'll be honest, as that game was getting late last night and into overtime, I was terrified when he was on the ice.
Thompson.
Every shift he got late in the game terrified me. And then what happened? You know, in the end, I mean, there were almost two plays there, but he's just sort of spinning around backwards, trying to block the puck out of the air. I mean, he's doing nothing. He's accomplishing nothing on that play. And there were so many shifts like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm just getting nothing out of him, and I'm terrified of getting beat.
I'm not sure if it's exactly, I don't know if it's exactly ironic. It's definitely not hilarious, but it's notable to me that for all the trouble we saw this team endure winning faceoffs, that the play that leads to the winning goal comes off a pretty clean draw win back to Dahlin. Like to me, Dahlin on that play is the one that this does not refute the point you're making about Thompson terrifying you, but Dahlin just sort of, I don't know if he doesn't expect the guy coming out to him to be as aggressive, but he acts like he's got more time than he's got, and suddenly he's in trouble, and Thompson is available, but barely. Like, he leaves Thompson to me in a pretty bad spot, and I think Thompson eventually does try to do the thing that you would have wanted someone to do there, which is at least just throw it in the corner. Just get it out of danger. And I think a defender gets his stick on it, because it looks to me like he is not – initially he's trying to stick handle his way out of there, and then I think very, very quickly gives up. But when he goes to try to shovel it, I think a defender gets his stick on it, and it's altered, and they're gone on a 3-on-2. And I'm like, you want to draw. Like, the whole overtime, when he's out there, I'm like, how incredible would it be for them to win a draw – to have and tee him up for like a rocket into the top corner after all of this, after him, after the face-off thing, just all the, like, that'd be a great way for this game and this series to end. And they got the draw. It wasn't right to Thompson, and it turned into a mess. You'd have been better off if it went into the Montreal corner and you just fell back and played, you know, neutral zone. So that was a bad way to have that winning play start.
Well, it's so tough. I mean, I can't even really know, but just how fast everything is moving, and, you know, I have no problem with Dahlin. I couldn't. I mean, Dahlin was amazing, and maybe that wasn't his finest moment, but just he was so good, and he was so important. He was everything you want, unless you want to pick at that with that last play. I mean, he was just everything you want.
I'm not here to pick at him. I just want to point out that I think he made the bigger error on the play.
Okay, that's fair. I mean,
but yeah, no, I mean, without him, I mean,
I don't leave this playoff being like, oh, Dahlin.
No, I definitely.
I mean, he was tremendous.
Yeah. No.
And Thompson was bad.
Yeah.
And maybe he's hurt. We did that dance. You know, he got his points too. But I don't know. I mean, just tell me how I felt. I don't want to hide from it. I was terrified when he was on the ice. I'm just like, anybody else, just give me any McLeod line, even Greenway. Like, just give me give me any other combination of forwards.
I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow to find out anything about. I don't know that everyone has to talk, but
he better.
Neither Thompson nor Tuck, to my knowledge, unless they have since we've been on, spoke today. There's been an assortment of guys that have spoken today. Ruff and Kekalainen are both going to talk tomorrow during our show at about 4:20. And other guys will be available starting very early in the morning. So hope, you know, we'll probably find something out about him, talk anybody else that was, you know, nursing whatever, because that's when the laundry list eventually will come.
Well, Tuck might have cost himself a lot of money in this round. I don't know. But it's not just the Sabres that would apply to. It'd be the whole NHL. If he's going to free agency and he comes off this round where, I mean, he was just like so slow looking and just inept after, I mean, a great season, a great few years, a good first round, and he was completely neutralized or neutered by the Canadians. Like, just, it was all another guy where you're like, please no. And
yeah, most of the night for me, I Thompson might have been scary, at least to you, in overtime or like later in the game. Tuck the whole night to me was just an empty set. There was just nothing. He had one really good chance in front on a rebound.
Shot it right into his glove.
Dobish, you know, at least had the glove where it should have been.
Yep.
To make that save, because that was during a sequence where I think I had already been texting with Owen, like, this guy's dying to get beat. Dobish, he just looked like he was sort of just off his spots all night. And that save was when I like, all right, let me reel that back a little, because he was square. He was in the right position. If he'd been as erratic as he'd been to that point and for most of the game, that probably finds a hole. But that was it from Tuck. That chance was the only time I thought he was dangerous in any way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost for the whole series.
Yeah. But we'll see what the market. I don't know. He still is. I mean, if he gets to July 1st, he is by a mile the most attractive guy out there, which to me means you could have two, three, four more teams that want to dip their toes in. And to me, that could mitigate, especially if we find out he's nursing a back or whatever. The teams, I think, will still fill him. Teams will go nuts.
Somebody's coming with five for 50.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Or seven for 80.
I don't think I want to do it.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
I
don't think I want to do it.
I don't. It's too. Right now, it feels too reactionary to the seven games we just watched.
Okay.
And so I don't want to. I don't
Fair
want.
Enough.
But you're right to be on watch about it. It's far from a easy yes anymore for me.
Can I? I've got what I've got already, right? I've got a good young group. Mm-hmm. I'm not shallow. Can I find somebody younger that might be as good that's out there and spend a little more if I have? I mean, you're saying maybe that player isn't there. He's not dead to me, but just what a downturn.
Yeah.
For both of them at the end of this. 803-0550. How do you feel? I mean, what a ridiculously trite question. We're here for your calls. Paul Hamilton, Sal Capaccio too. We will dip our toes
back into the Bills.
Into
waters.
Some Bills topics.
Mike reminded me earlier, we were, you know, talking in the 2 o'clock hour, that the NFL schedule actually came out last week.
Oh.
So that, you know.
It so did.
That's something that we can talk about.
I mean, how much time have you spent? I guess by saying that, maybe very little, with the week four primetime schedule. The home teams, the Browns, the Panthers, and the Saints. Somebody is trying to have some fun at our expense. Those are the three home teams. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Carolina, and Atlanta, New Orleans drew the week four. It's a ways off. You don't have to worry about it right now. Primetime games. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Tuesday as Buffalo Sabres season does come to an end in a 3-2 Game 7 overtime loss to the Montreal Canadiens. And for more on that and now what comes next for the Sabres, we do go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How are we doing?
All right. How are you?
Well, I feel bad, Paul. Like you're on to OTAs, like you mentioned yesterday with Mike and Chris. Like, all right, I guess
oh,
it's on
no.
The Bills OTAs now.
Poor Paul. Yeah. Oh, well. You know, it's what I've been doing for 14 years, so I'm not a stranger at OTAs.
A little later than usual, though. I at least take that for what it's worth. Yeah.
We did get at least the one warm weather game for the Sabres. That's the one crappy part about these playoffs and the excitement. Spring took forever to actually get here for the Sabres, like the warm weather, until literally now where everyone's wearing shorts, the sun is out, and we're all loving it. But, Paul, I mean, before we get to the game at large, the environment last night, I got to imagine, must have been incredible if you were in there.
Yeah, it was. You could even tell outside, you know, quite a few more people were able to attend, you know, the party outside and watch the game because of the weather. I mean, it's the first time in all the home games that, you know, it's been pleasant outside to enjoy it. And they had good crowds even in the bad weather, in the cold weather, but mm-hmm. not like yesterday's crowd and last night's crowd. And I do feel, I'm like with you, I feel bad for the fans. I mean, it was a great run for them too. And I just feel bad for the fans that it had to end in such an abrupt way. But that's the way hockey goes. That's the way playoffs go. And, you move on.
Yeah, on to the next. It is kind of crazy though, Paul. I mean, it's game seven, but you know, between two very good teams, you almost should expect a good game. But this series has been very weird. Every game it felt like it was tilted one way or the other. There was a lot of blowouts. But yesterday, I thought it was truly a great game between two very good young teams. But you mentioned that abrupt end, and we've been taking calls this morning on the goaltenders. And me and Derek are in agreement on this. I thought Luukkonen played very, very well for 90% of that game. But the goal he lets up in overtime, ESPN, the broadcast was saying it there, it's sort of a nothing play. I know it's a little bit of a knuckle puck, but it just, it's the shame with Luukkonen. It kind of feels like that's emblematic of his entire career, just the consistency issues and some of these just really awful goals that he can let up.
Well, I would just disagree that that mm-hmm. wasn't an awful goal. I mean, it's a knuckle puck that he's got. I mean, if the puck isn't on end, you can tell he's on it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it looks like it hit something. It didn't. It's because it's a knuckle puck, and next thing you know, it dips. And I don't, you know, just in my opinion, I don't see how he's going to make that save when it dips like that unless he gets lucky. And you can see it on numerous replays. The puck just goes down on him as, you know, he's got it. It's coming, and it goes down because it's flipping. And I don't know how anybody would expect him to anticipate the puck's going to dip down like that. I agree with the other part that he had a great game. I don't agree at all that that's a bad goal.
So where do you think, though, they go with the goaltenders? I mean, because where you're sitting is that at least for Luukkonen, good game, not a great goal for him necessarily to give up in terms of just it was a lucky shot or a knuckle puck, however. Do you think they stay, though, with these goaltenders? I mean, ultimately, the rotation works for them. And Derek's been pointing out this morning, look at the teams that are left. It's not necessarily these heralded names. It's a bunch of guys that got hot at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, all through the season, I mean, the alternating worked very well for them. And they played very well throughout most of the season. Luukkonen from December 9th through most of the season led the league in save percentage from that point forward. And it wasn't a small percentage. And Lyon was doing just as well. I mean, he was one win away from tying the NHL record for consecutive road wins with 11. He had 10. And he faltered in his last three starts in the regular season. Two were his fault. One was the team in front of him's fault. And, that gave Luukkonen the first start in the playoffs. And he wins the first game and then has that really bad period against Boston, one of which, you know, the goal from the red line went in, and so they switched to Lyon. He went on a really good tear, you know, and then all of a sudden, in the last little bit here, they went back and forth. And, Lukanen's last two games in Montreal were extremely good, and they don't win those games without him. But then he came home to Buffalo, and the team didn't play well in front of him, and it didn't go well for him. The team didn't play as near as well in the game in Buffalo as they did the two games in Montreal in front of them. So I would think they probably, I mean, Lyon is another year on his contract, so I would think they would go with that unless they have an interest of going with Levi or Ellis. You also have look at, all right, what are they going to do with Ellis? We'll try to find out. What does Jarmo Kekalainen think of Ellis? I mean, he's not the one that brought him here. I know Kevin Adams thought a lot about him. I don't know where Kekalainen is at with him. And, Is he to a point where, you know, it's a good young goalie and maybe he wants to make him part of the rotation? Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I don't think they're going to go with three again. And, you know, if you want to send Ellis down, you're going to have to put him on waivers. And I still think St. Louis takes scoops him up if you put him on waivers. So you will probably lose him if you put him there. So, you know, that's a factor, too. How do they feel about him? What did they see in him, good or bad, that makes them think, well, you know what, we would like to keep him in part of it, and where does Levi fit in then?
Yep.
I'm not sure. Once Ellis was claimed off waivers, I'm not sure Levi fits in, because I don't see any reason why you need to claim Ellis if you had any reason to believe that Levi is going to be an NHL goaltender. How does Levi feel about that? I wouldn't have been happy if I were him. And they pick up a guy who had pretty much the same exact numbers in the AHL that he had the year before. I would not be all gung-ho to remain in this organization if Ellis was staying.
Paul, that's what I was going to ask you about, too, is it's not even just Ellis. It's also Levi, and me and Derek were kind of joking. He's almost become completely forgotten about, I think, amongst the fan base as the season went on. You also, as you mentioned, Colton Ellis sort of arrives here. They have a little bit of a three-man rotation that sort of disappears in the second half of the year. It really does become just Lyon and UPL, and then to end it, it's UPL going into the postseason. But it is curious, like, what do they do with now the two young guys? I'm with you. I don't think they can do the three-man rotation. But we've also been here a number of times with the three-man rotation with different guys. They do keep end up going back to it.
Yeah. I mean, Lindy Ruff said numerous times, it's a good thing we had three goalies because of the injuries that popped up, you know, with all three of them. So, you know, you always had the other one to count on. And Ellis, you know, at times some of his numbers weren't great, but he would win the hockey game. It was kind of weird that way.
Yeah.
That, you know, his wins and losses were good, but sometimes his goals against and his save percentage wasn't good. But the name of the game is winning hockey games. And, you know, Lukanen always said that. I mean, Lukanen was really excited when they beat Tampa Bay and 8-7. You know, goalies usually aren't too excited when they give up seven goals, but he's always been a guy that has always said the most important thing is winning the hockey game. And that's what he goes, that's what I'm here for, is to win games. And he won that game. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Kekalainen feels about it.
Paul, it's a tough game also, not just because you're losing game seven and everything like that. It's probably the one time this playoffs I could look at the Buffalo Sabres losing in the postseason and go, yeah, you actually probably were the better team that night. Most of their losses was pretty cut and dry, Paul. They made it very easy for us. Yeah, you probably deserved to lose that game. This one, not the case. They were incredible. They fall down 2-0 early. Lukanen does a great job maintaining and, you know, mitigating the damage. But after the second period on, Paul, they're a team that dominates the puck, and it was a matter of time before they would end up ultimately forcing overtime.
Yeah, it was Buffalo's game. I mean, they hit 91 shot attempts. 91 to 59 were the shot attempts. And the three stars all had five shots each. Tuck, Thompson, Dahlin. They had 15 shots between the three of them. Scored once. They were dominating. Somehow or another, this Montreal Canadiens team just knows how to hang in there. Somehow they hang in. They're getting waterboarded. They happened in Tampa in game seven. They got outshot 29-9. Guess who scored? Newhook.
It's exact same. Right. It's the exact same heroes for them.
Yeah, with about eight minutes or so left. And you just sit there. It's like, how did they win that game? Tampa Bay has people that can put the puck in the net. Kucherov, Point, others. I mean, this is a team that can score goals, and they just couldn't get a goal to tie that game. Dobish had a lot to do with that. And Montreal just somehow wins a hockey game they had no business even being in. So off they go to Buffalo. And here we are in game seven. Montreal is a 2-0 lead. It's like, well, how did that happen? Because look at the way, you know, first period wasn't as good. But in the second period, now the Sabres are dominating. You know, and what Lindy Ruff did mention in the, he said in the second period they were missing the net way too much. He said a lot of their really, really good opportunities were either high or wide, which he said they did correct in the third period. You know, and Buffalo chipped away at it. You know, they get the two goals. The second goal came before the midway point of the third period. And then, wow, a call in Buffalo. It's just, it's never happened before in football or hockey that you get a chintzy call. But I just didn't understand what happened there with the referee, why he panicked and blew the whistle. It was obviously an anticipation whistle, but of what? The Dobish has no idea the puck is behind him. He's lost. He doesn't know it's behind him. It's just sitting there. It's not covered at any point why it's sitting there at all. He's not making any move to it because he doesn't know it's there. Guess who does know it's there? Beck Malenstein. And he starts going for it, and as he's on his way, almost there, the referee blows the whistle. I don't know what to say. Because I have the same angle the ref had, other than I'm higher and he's lower, mm-hmm. but we're at the same angle. I can see the puck just sitting there. It is not covered. It is not going to be covered. It is just sitting there. Why in the world would you blow the whistle?
Paul, I thought about this, and I've kind of somewhat moved off of this morning. Just it is what it is, a play. It's a quick whistle. I also wondered, too, as it was happening, Dobish was really upset following Zucker running into him, and I almost wonder if he sort of gamed the official a little bit, kind of put more an eye on it. That whistle happens the moment Greenway touches him. The moment it happens to try to, you know, ultimately dislodge the puck.
I kind of thought, as I listened for it, the puck was out. It was laying there mm-hmm. when the whistle came. I can see the referee put the whistle up to his mouth. I actually saw that before I actually heard the audio of it. I could see the whistle going up to his mouth. You know, he was anticipating is what he was doing. And, you know, now this is halfway through the third period. You take the lead. We now that or that changes everything. Can the Sabres, you know, hold the Montreal off? We don't know. I mean, we don't know if, I mean, it would have given Buffalo the lead, and I like their chances when they have the lead, especially when they're playing well. And, you know, they're very good at protecting one goal leads. They're also very good when the other team pulls the goalie, hitting the open net.
Yeah.
I you know, think there's a pretty good chance the Sabres could have gotten that game into the garage, but we don't know because everything's different now. So does Montreal pull the goaltender and tie the game? You'd at least like to see it happen, see how it plays out, and not have a call like that, and you know, a bad call like that. End your season. I mean, it's crazy how that basically now ends your season. But again, you just don't know how it's going to end, but at least you would like to see how it would have ended, you know, with Buffalo taking the 3-2 lead. And of course, the fans were going crazy, and you know, they would have probably gotten more adrenaline off that by taking the lead. So, you know me, I do not blame referees. I go the other way too much, probably, but that's on the referee. I'm sorry. That can't happen, and he denied the Sabres the lead and denied them the opportunity to try to finish that game with the lead.
Paul, I will say, I mentioned it a little bit. Actually, I mentioned it driving in, talking to Zach. There is a fate worse than that, though, which would be intent to blow the whistle. So I guess it's better to have heard the whistle than for the I meant to do it, so it's not a goal anyway.
Yeah, intent to blow the whistle.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I feel like that is the fate worse than the one that the Sabres would have been given, so I guess it could be worse. But, Paul,
the refereeing all night long, but I knew it was coming. It's game 7, so the only penalties you're going to see are and I mentioned this before the game started, I mentioned it all through the game, over the glass and drawing blood. That's it.
That's it.
And both teams knew it. They knew they could hold, they could hook, they could cross-check. They could do whatever they wanted. I don't know why the NHL just doesn't institute a rule that our rule book will not be followed in playoffs, especially if you're in a game seven. You can just toss the rule book out because there is no rule book. It's a free-for-all as long as you don't draw blood. So do whatever you want, and that's what happened. I mean, that's just they go under the let's let the players decide it. Well, you know what? If somebody violates the rules of the National Hockey League, you're still letting the players decide it because they have chosen to violate the rules of the National Hockey League. So now they should go sit in the penalty box because they have violated the rules. To me, that is the players deciding the game because they've violated the rules of your league. Mm-hmm. I've never understood this garbage. But, you know, the referees were a factor in that game all night because they didn't call penalties at all. They just let it go. It was for both teams, so I guess it's fair if you let it go for both teams. But I knew that was coming. I hate it that it was coming, but that's the way the NHL does their business.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline here as we recap the unfortunate end of the Sabres season. Paul, let's talk about something a little more cheery. You mentioned that they were robbed of the chance to play with the lead, but Rasmus Dahlin. It's a great play by Owen Power, better finish by Dahlin, and it looks like it's the two number one overall pick defensemen creating their moment. And Dahlin is great in Game 6 and Game 7. When you needed one of your best players to step up, the captain answered the call.
Yeah, and I was just so impressed with the play Power made because a lot of guys just would have tried to immediately throw it over there and it would have been too early and he wouldn't really have had the chance to score. What Power did is saw him coming, realized he had a little bit of time, so he held on to the puck, let Dahlin get by him and through the circle, then gave him the puck. And it was just, to me, a very heady play. And then Dahlin made a great play, too, and a great shot for them to do that. And Power, I mean, I thought he had a great playoff. I thought he had a great season, really improved a lot this season. And it's become the defenseman that everybody thought he might become, being the number one overall pick. And I still think there's more to come. I think he'll even get better than he is now. And the improvement and, you know, the things that he's realizing out on the ice, and his coverages are so much better and everything is so much better. And, that is a bright spot is Power and Dahlin. And even Thompson and Dahlin kind of monkeyed with the puck in the overtime there, and they wound up turning the puck over. But I will say they turned it over fairly deep into Montreal territory, probably midway point in Montreal territory. So they weren't in awful shape coming back the other way. It wasn't like turnovers that turn into three-on-ones or breakaways and that type of thing. So was it a turnover? Yeah. Was it by your two best players? Yeah. But I've seen worse turnovers than that, and it just – What could have been a nothing play all of a sudden because, as I said, of a knuckle puck turns into the game winner, and it was just a shame.
Yeah, Paul, last thing for me before we get to what's coming up next for the Sabres, another bright spot, I think, throughout these playoffs and why maybe looking ahead to the next couple of years is the sun is shining on Buffalo right now. The young players, Paul, it just seemed like any time Lindy had to pull a lever to maybe get a little bit more out of this group, they go to the young guys, even if they were already on the roster, but maybe giving them more responsibilities. But it just seemed like every time they did it, the young players stepped up. It's a shame we only get three games out of Noah Austin, but he looked like he was going to be on that trajectory as well. I mean, very much a key figure in them winning game three against Boston, but Hellenius comes up, and he is a danger in every game he played for the Sabres in these playoffs. He has a pass to Jack Quinn yesterday that was just perfectly set up. He's got multiple goals. And then, of course, Benson and sort of the rise of the legend of Zach Benson and what kind of player he is. Ultimately, he ends the postseason playing on the quote-unquote top line with Norris and Thompson. Just the pipeline now the Sabres have, I know coming into this series you would argue maybe Montreal had, at least in terms of name recognition, probably the better young talent. I think now name recognition, the Sabres might be up there as well.
Well, Lindy Ruff just had a great playoff. Every move he made was just like, yep, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody's thinking beforehand, hey, what are you doing? But then it's like, well, okay, now we see what you're doing. That worked out really well. That's the thing that makes the off season interesting, because Oslin's not going to play in the AHL anymore. Hellenius isn't going to play in the AHL anymore. They've got some very bright, big right-handed shooting defensemen coming in Mertka and Kleber, who are both top-notch prospects. Even Sturbik, who's a right-handed shooting defenseman who they just signed not too long ago out of Michigan State, I don't think they're as high on him as they are the other two. But you've got those guys. You got Zimmer, who's the captain of the World Junior team and playing very well at the University of Minnesota. And it's just coming on. So, yeah, they've got folks that are here. They got folks that are coming. And it gives them also, because and I was saying, as they were drafting these guys, they all can't play.
Right.
You know, there's not enough roster spots for everybody. If they all pan out, you know, that's why I didn't mind the Savoy trade at all. They went out and got at the type of player that they needed in that trade. And also, don't forget about Yuri Kulik. There's a third guy who that's three young players that if Yuri Kulik is okay. And, you know, starting next season, that's three very good young players that are going to be part of your team for a long time to come unless you make a trade. So what does Jarmo Kekalainen do now? How is he going to take the pieces and move them around? And is he going to keep young guys? Is he going to go for, you know, like he was interested in Thomas at the trade deadline? Well, that would be a fantastic acquisition for Buffalo, and that would make them a better team. But to get him, you're going to have to trade some of those guys we just talked about.
Yeah.
So how does he look at it? Would he rather have the young guys, or would he rather have the established star, you know, that would make them better immediately? It's I guess, a great problem to have.
Yeah, these playoffs made it harder, too, because the young guys performed so well in the postseason. It makes the conversation harder.
But you have currency if you want to use it, you know, to get good players. And as I said, it's a great problem to have. Does having these young players change their thought on Tuck, you know, who's 30 years old? You know, so how does that change? If it changes at all, we don't know. I mean, and Kekalainen's not going to sit there and tell us. Well, you know what? We're like within $100,000 with Tuck, and maybe, but it has to be 3 years and not 8 years. No, we're not getting that. You know, he'll make a comment about it, and that'll be it. And Tuck will make a comment about it, and that'll be it, and he'll be on his way, you know, after locker clean out. And so, you know, we're not going to know. And to the point, Kekalainen might not even know how Tuck's going to pan out unless he has decided, either side has decided that they're not going to sign. But if it's still a negotiation, he doesn't even know how it's going to pan out. You know, are they going to be able to find common ground? You know, what is common ground? And can they get there? So if it's still a negotiation and nobody's pulled the plug on it, neither side knows how it's going to end.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline. And, Paul, next up now is locker cleanout. Does it start today or is it tomorrow?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock today. All right. So they get right to it. I know now, especially for fans as well, it's going to be curious the injuries that were picked up. Owen Power is someone I am going to be kind of waiting with bated breath to see what happened with him. I thought the guts he had to pull it out these last two games and how well he played with potentially dealing with something like an ankle injury or what have you, I thought was really something from him. But we'll see as well. I know Thompson and Tuck have also been, you know, comments around the fan base, and I think even with the media if they're dealing with something. So we'll find out. But, Paul, thanks so much for jumping out with us. I know it's been a wonderful season. It sucks that it's over, but hopefully good times are ahead for these boys.
All right. Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton. Thanks, Paul. There on the Western Hotline. And Paul's appearances are brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. It was right at the beginning. We got to take a break here in 803-0550 if you want to jump on, give your thoughts. I watched the angle of the goal again, and it never rises. It just keeps dropping. And Lukanen sort of sees it. He just can't play it. He was very good for a majority of the game. I think he's got to make a save there. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, until 12 o'clock on WGR.
I thought we played a really good game, which makes it even tougher of a, taste. Had a lot of chances. Oopie played great. Keeps it tight for us and claw our way back into it, and felt like we had all the momentum. Just couldn't score.
So tomorrow, I was joking with my buddies driving back from the game, like, Saber season ends tomorrow. How do you feel about attendance at OTAs?
Attendance at OTAs.
Oh. Let's look at this picture. Does Dalton Kincaid look stronger? We could have been in the conference final. Jeez. Instead, it's like,
is that a sleeve on that guy's knee? What's going on?
Hold on. A person on the internet is telling me what type of brace this is and what that means. What he got for his catches this year?
Yeah.
Hey, we'll do it. We'll find a way. Locker clean out today, 1 o'clock. Also, the Bills, OTAs. Today, Joe Brady meets with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have lots to talk about tomorrow. Montreal.
At the end here, there was only one Sabre that led the playoffs in a statistical category.
You're going to tell me it's Zach Benson misconducts?
Well, that too. Penalty minutes in general. Zach Benson, 64 penalty minutes. Next closest on the Sabres was 22. But 60 of the 64 were misconducts. Hmm. Thompson was second with 22 penalty minutes. I think a lot of those were minor penalties.
They took bad penalties in this series.
Maybe, I said earlier, I don't really know what this team has to learn next time they're in the playoffs. Like, they kind of answered the bell. The next thing they would have to learn maybe would just be they call everything in the playoffs now.
Mm.
Right? Like, yeah. Not yesterday, because game 7, I guess. But on the overall, how was our first taste back in the playoffs? The reputation is they don't call anything. They called everything. Lindy even said at one point, they don't call that in the regular season. They call it in the playoffs. Like, what? I thought we were supposed to go the other way on that stuff. They're more sensitive in the playoffs than in the regular season? Okay. Dahlin and Tage. I mean, they're top of the list. I think Dahlin was tied for the league lead in minor penalties during the playoffs. And that's not new for him. He takes a lot of penalties during the regular season as well. Thompson, it was new. Because Thompson was taking dumb penalties, and he usually does not do that in the regular season.
I'm so eager to hear what Yarmo has to say about all of it. Chris in Arizona. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope your weather is getting a little bit better back there.
It's very nice. It's hot.
Yep.
Turned the air on yesterday.
Yeah. But it's 100 out here, so you're not even in the neighborhood yet. So give it time.
It got to 86 yesterday.
Yeah. There you go. My big thing, you guys got to steal a dome. Because Paterka goes out to Utah. He had an okay season, but I watched them both all year long. And Doan, this was a breakout season for him. It's going to get even better. You just watch him. If you ever watched his old man play like I did, you can see it. He's not flashy. He just plays. And he plays hard, just like his old man did.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Yep. I saw Marty St. Louis in the handshake line. It was looking for who's chatting it up with someone else for a long time. I think the longest conversation I saw was St. Louis talking to Doan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might know him. I don't know. Does he have any relationship with Shane?
Did they play together?
Don't think so. Shane never left Arizona.
Team Canada?
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah. Even if it was world championships, maybe Olympics.
Maybe.
That trade, is there any chance Michael Kesselring plays for this team again? I can't believe you won that bet against me, by the way. He played 4 minutes. My guy played 12 and then was in played game 7.
The bet was, who will they go to in the playoffs first, Kesselring or Metsä?
Kesselring went in and played 4 minutes.
Yep.
But there's no way he plays for this team again, right? They had no faith in him whatsoever.
That's what you said.
Weird Instagram.
You said that.
You want to bet again? You want to double down?
You said that, and I said, I bet he plays in the playoffs, and I won that bet.
Let's double or nothing.
Double or nothing. I already got paid.
Double or nothing.
It can't be double or nothing. It's just another $10 bet.
Another $10 bet. Opening night, Metsa versus Kesselring. You want Kesselring?
I mean.
He doesn't have a contract. He's an RFA.
I understand. Yeah.
I think there is. He was also mad on Instagram all year. There's no way that dude's playing for this team again. And I'm not even saying, like, I'm arguing for that. He was injured all year. He could actually come back next year, I think, and be a lot better. I'm trying to learn my lesson on Samuelson for that, right? I wanted that dude bought out, and oh, look, he just stayed healthy, and look what he did all year. He was unbelievable. Could Kesselring be a lot better next year if he's just healthy? Yeah. But the social media stuff and Lindy showing no faith in him and being so far down, like, I cannot see him signing and them signing, like, coming together to continue that relationship. Do you want to bet again?
Which of those two is more likely? I mean,
opening night.
I think the most likely is that neither is, because Yarmo will. He'll want.
Or is Mertka ready to go?
Won't Yarmo, isn't what they'll do add like another Timmins?
I'd want to ask a Rochester guy if Mertka is like going to play for the Sabres next year, because he would be a name. Yeah. But if not.
He's ready to trade that guy.
Timmins is still under contract.
Yeah.
So if Timmins is under contract, I don't want another Timmins.
I think they would want another Timmins.
You want two Timmins?
Kinda. I think they'll want a guy that they think can kill penalties to protect the top four and take their minutes down.
What is that for a need, though? Like, I know they were terrible in the Montreal series, but they were good all year, penalty kill.
But won't the goal for Yarmo with the third pair be load managing the top four for the season? I don't want to get those guys too raggedly.
Well, that would be revisiting the Parayko trade.
Right.
Yeah.
So give me a guy that can kill penalties, that I can put out there, that I could play in the top four, but I'd like to have him in the top in a bottom pair.
That's not Metsa, because he doesn't kill penalties.
No, that's right. That is physical or has size or, you know, a little bit of grumble to him. Like, isn't that what Yarmo wants? He went out and got Luke Shen and Logan Stanley.
And that's probably not Kesselring.
I mean, is Stanley the guy? Stanley's under contract for another year, is he not?
No, he's a free agent.
Oh, okay. I thought he was under year.
Stanley and Shen are free agents.
I would bet they signed Stanley.
Wow. No. Ooh. Some hockey can be dumb. There's a GM out there that's going to offer Stanley a contract, I bet, that you can't believe. I'm going to bet he's not here.
Are we sure it's not the Sabres?
Yes.
Okay.
I think. Some team is going to give Stanley like four for four and a half. Like $4.5 million a year over 4 years. Like, they're
4 years,
$18 million. Mark my words. There's a GM out there that's going to – he's going to look at his hockey reference page, see 6'8", and be like, all right, give him $4.5 million over 4 years. That guy's out there.
Stanley came in as this big mean customer, and like, what was his meanest moment? He fought in the Sharks game.
He fought Brady Kachuk.
Yeah.
When he got challenged by Brady Kachuk.
Yeah.
He fought in the Boston series against somebody. End of game two, when they were getting smoked.
Okay.
Didn't really have a lot of them. He didn't really have a lot of them. Right.
Didn't Lindy dress Shen in game six because Stanley wouldn't do that stuff?
No, I think he dressed Shen in game six because he couldn't kill penalties.
Right.
And they couldn't get the penalty kill going. And then Shen came in and they gave up power play goals anyway.
Anthony, quickly before the break. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Just a couple things. I just wanted to say, to start, the goaltender is one of the most important positions in hockey. And I think the NHL should start treating it that way, almost as important as the quarterback for the Bills or any football team for that matter. As far as the Sabres go, man, I tell you, they had an excellent season. There's nothing we can. I know we're all disappointed. I know everyone's got their heads down, and it just feels like a dreary day. But they played so well. They should have won that game yesterday. It just didn't go their way. But, you know, a positive that we can take out of this is Oslin wasn't even on the ice for us. Kulik, who was out the entire season, wasn't even on the ice for us. We've got players. We've got pieces. We can do this again. We got the experience now. Now let's turn it up for next season. I think Metsa is the guy you got to keep on the defense. He's young. He's hungry. Keep it going. I think the Sabres had an excellent season, and we'll be doing this again this time next year. So everyone in Buffalo, keep your heads up. They did an excellent job, and if you ever see any of the guys, let them know they did a great job. So thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the rest of the day, and on to Bill's off season. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. Chad DeDomenicis just tweeted, not that this should be surprising, wouldn't be shocked if we hear about a rough extension in the near future. Seems as though both sides want to keep that going and have gone down that path to do so.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the same.
Beautiful.
All right. Maybe we find that out today or this week. Or
I got a new tracker on Twitter, by the way, for Sabre fans. Because yeah. I'm already getting tweets. Don't forget Poltepov is coming.
Oh, right.
I've got a don't forget Poltepov is coming counter. Some Russian prospect the Sabres have. The amount of times that's going to be mentioned this offseason is already too many.
Extendo Sports is coming up, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres lose in overtime of Game 7. What's the most painful thing I could give them? What's the thing that only gives the toughest battles to the strongest warriors? That's the Buffalo sports fan right now. They can handle a Game 7 overtime loss at home. Let's give it to Buffalo. It's fine. It was a great year.
We haven't had one in 25 years.
No, right. It's been a long time since the Sabres broke our hearts.
Fair.
It's been a while. We were due. All right. 803-0550 on WGR.